Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Good afternoon, and what a wonderful afternoon it is. I hope that each and every one of you had a great and safe 4th of July weekend. Now, here at Journeys, we broke out the barbecue, the family came over, we had a great time, and again, I hope that was the way it was for you and your family, and then also you were safe. Well, I have a very different kind of show this week. I will not be doing an interview, but I am going to be interviewed. Now, that just doesn't seem right. But Kansas City radio host Stephen McKay is coming into the studio to interview me and discuss my own spiritual journey. Now, Stephen said he has a lot of hot button topics for me to respond to. It could be very interesting interview. I kind of wonder what kind of questions are going to come forward. That remains to be seen, doesn't it? Right now, though, I'd like to have a really warm welcome to one of the new sponsors to Journeys, Sandy Andrew, Your Never Ending Life. It's a book one of the Universal Learning series. Now, it explores the theory of universal learning. It focuses on you, the never-ending eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe, and learning the ways of God the Creator. Teaching common principles and moralities that most religions share, universal learning is based around the universal laws and universal energy. Again, Sandy Andrew is the author of this wonderful book and also the newest sponsor to Journeys with Rebecca. I'd also like to say thank you to Fate as our second sponsor of Journeys with Rebecca. Also, just for a brief recap, for those of you who missed that interview, please go to the archives. You can find that right on the front page. That's www.journeyswithrebecca.com. Go to the click on the archives and listen to the interview. It's a wonderful interview, as well as the book is a wonderful book. Again, Never Ending Life explores subjects such as past lives, karma, emotional control, superior spirit, and it's really written in an easy-to-read, broad-minded fashion. So again, for more information, visit www.universallearningseries.com. This is a must-read book. Okay, joining me in just a few minutes is Kansas City radio host Stephen McKay. Now, Stephen hosts his own radio, Kansas City radio show, Up All Night. Humor and commentary on the news, entertainment, lifestyle, and sports. It's a couple of military guys discussing the world from a little bit of a different perspective. Sometimes raunchy and always out there. But coming up next, Stephen McKay will be right back.
At Fate Magazine, they recognize the impossible can be possible. We explore the unknown so that it can be known. From personal accounts of ghosts and UFOs to scientific examination of psychic phenomena and earth mysteries, Fate's main purpose continues to be honest reporting and open discussion of the strange and the unknown. So log on to www.fatemag.com or call 1-800-728-2730.
Call Rebecca and schedule your private reading. 888-95-TAROT. That's 888-958-2768. Where will your life journey take you?
Hi, this is Rebecca of Journeys with Rebecca. Today I'd like to talk to you about Your Never-Ending Life. It's book one in the series Universal Learning. It introduces the revolutionary philosophical theory of universal learning. The book is written in an easy-to-read and broad-minded fashion. Your Never-Ending Life explores subjects such as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. It takes you on the journey to discovery of you, the never-ending eternal spirit. You will develop an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of God the Creator. To learn more or to get your copy, visit www.universallearningseries.com. Again, that's www.universallearningseries.com.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca, and I am your host, Rebecca Jernigan. And as promised, today's guest is Mr. Stephen McKay, radio talk host on Kansas City Online Radio. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Hello there, Rebecca. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, we're so glad that you were able to stop by the studio. I know I've done that for you a few times,
yes,
so it can be lots of fun.
And I get to ask you the questions this afternoon. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's kind of relinquishing the control of the ship here, so, you know, we'll see. But
I'll try not to seek it for you.
I think we'll be just fine.
I seek my own show every night, so it's like, this will be good.
Okay, good, good. So, you're here to ask me questions.
Well, I'd like to kind of delve into your own journey into discovery and your whole life. You know, you interview people very well. You go in depth with them, not only in their past, but in the information that they're providing, you know, but you delve really well into their own personal discoveries, how they journeyed. I'm using all your key words here.
That's okay. It's all good. It's all good.
But, you know, what about you? You know, you have a very interesting, compelling growth period in your life, and I just think everybody should know more about it. And besides your audience, but me included.
Well, that's cool. Okay, well, I'm ready, so
let's
rock and roll.
Let's get started.
All right.
Where actually were you born? Where did you grow up at? Were you a country girl, a city girl? You know, how'd that part go for you?
Well, technically, I was born in a city called Gaines, Michigan. Now, no one actually knows where that's at, so as a reference point, it was Flint, Michigan. Or, for those who don't know that, it's northeast of, or northwest of Detroit, about 60 miles. So, in that general vicinity of Michigan, and I was a country girl. My nearest neighbor was a mile away. My grandparents all had farms, literal farms, where we would go and raise all kinds of crops. And so I actually was a huge nature girl. I went outside in the morning, didn't come home until it was time to eat dinner at night.
You're a tomboy.
Yeah, I truly was. I had three older brothers. It's kind of hard not to be. And no sisters. So.
Well, when you're growing up in that small town or country feel, you know, that's all there is to do, to get out and check out the wilderness and the animal life.
Oh, I did. I had a wonderful communication with them as well. I mean, I was mesmerized by watching the actual animal life and, you know, insect life and all the stuff that they used to do. Used to be mesmerized by watching ants and how busy they were all the time. And this is what's crazy. Yeah, yeah.
That's funny. I grew up a lot in Oklahoma, and of course that's king of ant land.
Oh,
they,
I didn't
they
know
have
that.
Ants huge there.
Ooh.
They just bite and.
Ooh.
I don't think you had those killer.
No, no, we have the killer mosquitoes, just not the ants. Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
Yeah, yeah.
What when you were growing up, what about religion? I mean, what were you raised as?
Well, I was raised as, and remember, I'm in the North now, and I was raised as a Southern Baptist. I went to Sunday school. I went to church with my mother and my brother. She made us go. And my mother, I don't know if she was actually raised as a Baptist, but that was the church that she took us to when I was a young child. And I don't know how much more you want me to go in about that.
I was just wondering, what was your opinion at the time when you were, 12 years old or whatever?
No, I was young.
I mean, did you just suck it in like a sponge, or did you just question stuff?
Oh, I was such a bad girl. I was in Sunday school, and our Sunday school teacher was trying to teach us about the ways of the religion, and the statement that she made is, as she was trying to teach us scriptures, was that you needed to be fearful of God, because God's wrath, you know, you've got to remember their fire and brimstone. The Baptist religion. I'm not knocking them. That's not what this is about. It's my own personal experience here,
right,
Gopher.
Right.
I just want to, you know, kind of qualify that statement before I get barraged with bad thoughts from people, because that's not what it was about. It was my own personal journey. I was in Sunday school, and she was teaching us about, you know, having to obey God, because if you didn't, you know, God was vengeful and a fear in somebody to be feared, and He also, their statement to me as in Sunday school was that you are born a sinner and you die a sinner. That's the belief of this particular church I went to. So during the course of this, I raised my hand and piped up. And I said to him, I said, well, if you're born a sinner and die a sinner, what difference does it make what you do? Yeah. It was an honest question. You know, it wasn't like I was like, well, now I can be a bad girl because it doesn't matter. That wasn't it. It was actually a very honest question.
Right.
If you're born a sinner and you die a sinner and yet you live a good life, what difference does it make? That was my thought process. Even at that, I was like, well, gosh, all the things, good things you do, it's not, you know, that's not even a... It's not recognized. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And then, she really admonished me on that. And then, you know, again, I piped up and said, I said to her during another course of the Sunday school day, and said, well, I thought that you were supposed to love God. I thought God was loving. And why would you fear God? You know, I couldn't understand why they wanted to put this fear in you over God about not minding whatever it was that they said that you weren't supposed to be doing. So I questioned it even as a young child, and I got my mother came to pick me up. I think it was like the third or fourth Sunday school session I attended, and they told her not to bring me back again.
Yeah, too many questions that couldn't be answered.
Yeah, and they were honest questions. I was like 8 years old, for heaven's sakes. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know enough. I was actually very interested because I thought, oh, here's a learning, you know, opportunity.
Right.
And that's not what it was at all for me. And I'll have to go on and tell you the next story, which has to do with the religion thing.
Okay.
I believe here this is when divine intervention really happened for me in regards to the religion thing, because we now know what happened in my Sunday school thing. So my mom made arrangements to have all of us children baptized. So we were to be baptized in this church. And I remember the night of the baptism, I was sitting in the pew all by myself. Now, why I was sitting in the pew all by myself, I still don't understand. But I was, because my mom was somewhere else, my brothers were all gone, I was sitting there in this pew all by myself. And I was really not wanting to be there. I really wasn't wanting to be there. And this lady comes up, and I have never seen this lady before, and she sits down next to me, and she says, so do you know what's going to happen today? And I said, well, no, not really. I said, all I know is that I'm supposed to be baptized, but I really don't know what that means. And she said, well, she said it means that if you get baptized, that you have to follow, you know, the rules of this church for the rest of your life because you have committed to this religion. And I mean, as she's sitting here talking to me, I was just like in a panic. I just got panic stricken. I was just panic stricken, you know, as a child. I was like, oh my, I can, oh, you know, I was. And she says, now you don't, do you really want to be baptized? I said, oh, no. And so she, and I said, but I have to because my mom would get really mad. She goes, I'll go talk to your mom. So she went and I watched her. She went over and sat next to my mom. My mom, my head was nodding. This woman was talking. And then the lady came back over and said, well, you don't have to be baptized.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, the whole procedure started and all this. And I never seen that lady before or after.
Wow.
And I really feel like that was divine intervention because I was very susceptible to beliefs. You know, I wanted something to believe in. Even at that young age, I was pretty intense and passionate about that. So,
yeah. That's
so that was my first experience with religion.
Personally, I was, you know, was Catholic and went to a Catholic school. And I was always in trouble because I was like, sort of the same way, asking the wrong questions. And, it was like...
actually asking the right question.
Asking, but they had the wrong answers, apparently. And I guess it was junior high, I wrote a paper on Darwin's theory of evolution, and that just didn't go over.
Oh, bad thing.
My parents got called and all that stuff. But I have to admit, the people were very good people. You know, the priests, I was never molested or anything like that. These are really good people.
So right.
I'm not criticizing the whole flock, but it was just kind of weird. Anyway, so during this period of searching out, did you discover your psychic ability? When did that come about? Was it your teens, pre-teens?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm sure I was born with it because my first real memory of what I look back now and was a psychic impression was I used to have visitations when I was a little girl, and they started when I was about three or four. Visitation by spirit entities. And
then, you know, that went on, actually that went on for, and it's still going on, so it's, I actually never stopped. There's been points in my life where they're not active, but I have right. spirit visitations. But I always had somebody I talked to. It was always somebody there. And of course, the, you know, as adults will do that don't understand, that was my imaginary friend. But I remember standing in the kitchen, and my mom, I don't remember what the conversation was. I just remember her saying, "Well, who told you that?" And I said, "Well, he did." And I pointed, there was somebody standing next to her. And she said, "Who?" And I said, that man that's standing there. See, I didn't know that nobody else could see that. You know, I didn't understand that they didn't see what I seen. I didn't understand that there was a difference at that point. And right. I'm 4 years old. What do I know? You know, I couldn't articulate it anyway. And she just looked at, and I do remember my mother's comment was going, "You are a strange child." That's what she said to me. Like, that's encouraging. Thanks, Mom. And then it was like when I would meet people, I would just instinctively, I mean intuitively know that they were either very good people or they were very bad people. I always knew, like, before, like, if I knew my mom was at work, I would always have things done before she got there. I just instinctively knew when she was going to be home. It's always the timing throughout my life has always been there. It's been part of that psychic impressions. And so that began when I was a very young child with the, you know, communications. And, you know, I remember hearing things when I was a kid when the adults would be talking and, you know, not know that the children were listening.
Right.
Or not thinking the children were listening. But at one point, they thought I had multiple personality disorders. That may well be true. Who knows? Maybe that's part of the whole thing.
Maybe some people in uh-huh. some mental hospitals that's been diagnosed.
They've been misdiagnosed.
That absolutely.
Yes.
That hear spirits.
Yep.
And don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
So how did you relate to these spirits talking to you?
Well,
I mean, did you freak out on them?
No, you know, because it was something that was always there, you know, Stephen. So I didn't, you know, I never questioned it. Like I said, I thought everyone could see or hear, you know, have the same abilities. I did not realize I was different.
Did you ever have any, like, evil or creepy spirits that you, oh man, that's a creepy spirit that would come into your room or your house?
Yes, I called him the Shadow Man. He stayed with me for about 5 or 6 years and then left for a while and then revisited again when I was older and I was better prepared for it. So, and I come to understand that he actually was a entity that actually followed me, if you will, through the lifetime. So this is something that you know that I've had to deal with. So yeah.
Well, let's move on to your teenage years. I got later on in the show. I got some provocative questions for you. About the world today. But I want to get through this first. As a teenager,
uh-huh.
you know, 15 and on, were you a rebel type?
Yes.
I mean,
but I was also extraordinarily compassionate. When other children would pick on other kids, I would always go for the one that was being picked on. And the reason for that was because I felt their pain. You know, that's also being part of who I was, is they call that being an empath. So I've always been an empath. But I think one of the most unusual experiences I had when I was a teenager was my dad passed away when I was 15. And he had been in the hospital, been sick, and I woke up in the middle of the night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was just a terrible, terrible snowstorm out. And I got up, and I went downstairs and sat next to the phone. And I was sitting there. There was a thought that crossed my mind just briefly, like, what am I doing sitting here? And then the phone rang, and it was my brother who was up at the hospital with my mom and advised me that my father was dead. So something woke me up out of the middle of the sleep, and I was just sitting there waiting for the call. It really wasn't a surprise at that point, you know, because obviously I knew I was waiting for something somewhere in my, you know, higher self or higher consciousness. But I think the most interesting thing that happened after he passed away was about a week after he passed away, he visited me. I mean, he was standing in my room and we had this long conversation, and I thought it was really interesting because he brought my grandfather. My grandfather was there with him, and he had passed a few years before that. So it was all, you know, pretty bizarre. And I mean, we had this conversation that was, I mean, he was just like he was
you know, just there. He was not in spirit form. He was like solid as he would have been had he been alive.
He felt good then that, I mean, he, you could still communicate with him, but he still came there to see you. And
well, he left me with some messages and told me what I needed to do, and so I've kind of taken that to heart to an extent. And I never did see him after that, but he did come to see me to say goodbye, so that was kind of neat.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I want to get into the UFO encounter.
Uh-huh.
And if I recall, we talked about this before. I think it happened when you were like 19 or so.
I was about 21.
And this story really is very fascinating because throughout my little time here on Earth, I love asking people their questions about their encounters, whether it was UFOs or Bigfoot. And everybody has an interesting story. And I've heard this story twice before. Once before I even knew you. We've known each other for 15 years.
Right.
But this story, almost to the T, keeps cropping up, and I'd like you to relay the story about the UFO encounter in the car.
Right. Okay. Okay, I can do that. Like I said, I was about, 20, 21, and I had just left my mother's house, and I lived quite a ways away. It was about a 35-minute drive from her house to my house, and it was late at night. It was 9, 10 o'clock, because I do know that it was dark out, and I had two small children at the time, and they were in the back seat, and we were driving along the expressway, and all of a sudden, there's this green, phosphorus green light that just pours into the car. I mean, just pours into the car, and I remember trying to turn around and look in the back seat, and the next thing I know is that I'm looking straight ahead. There's no one on the freeways at all, and 2 hours had elapsed. It was 2 hours later, and there was nobody. I mean, nobody on the freeways. And I've asked my children, because they were very small. They were like 3 and 4 at the time when this happened. And the one boy, the older boy, does remember it, and he remembers all of it. So I'm not sure what happened. All I know is that the car filled with light. And the next thing I know, I'm driving down the freeway at the same spot I was at 2 hours later, and both of my children were in the back seat sleeping. I didn't know what to make of it. I absolutely did not know what to make of it. That was my first recollection, too, with what we call lost time.
Right.
And since then, I've had many, many experiences of lost time.
Right.
But that's the one with the green phosphorus light. Blows me away.
I had a friend, and I happened to be talking to his mom, and this was like, 17 years ago, told almost the exact same story, and it was just her with her son and her daughter in the car, about the same age, and it just really fascinated me that it's in the same time frame of ages for both the mom and the children.
Wow.
And they lost like 2 hours, And this phosphorus light actually followed the car. They actually could see it following the car, getting closer and closer, and the car just filled up with this light. And then again, 2 hours later or so, they're driving down the road trying to figure out what went wrong. So.
Wow, that's just true. Maybe we had mass visitations during that point or something.
And maybe
they
continue. I mean,
they do. They do. They absolutely do. We're not alone. We're not alone at all. Yeah, so, the UFO thing, I'm just blown away by that, all the abductees and all of that. But the green phosphorus light has always kind of disturbed me, because I always wondered what that was really about, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then the 2 hours of lost time was just crazy, because, like I said, and then there was no one on the road. That was the other freaky thing. It was like maybe I was popped into a different dimension. I don't know. It was just different, It was like, okay, this looks like the same place, but is it really?
Yeah.
Because it didn't feel the same to me when the light, if you will, came back. So, well, you know what? Oh, my goodness. Time goes by so fast, doesn't it, Stephen? And all of you out there will be right back. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Rebecca. You know, it's easy to keep up with all the latest Journeys news. My upcoming guest, just sign up to receive the Journeys newsletter. It's free, and you will never receive any junk mail. Your email is never sold or distributed. So keep up to date the easy way. Just log on to my website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and at the bottom of the main page, you'll see the box. Type in your email address, and you're done. And once a week or so, you'll receive all the latest Journeys news.
Close your eyes and imagine you're on an unspoiled beach somewhere, sunlight streaming through the palm leaves. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. Because the Nature Conservancy works locally with people like you to save precious places around the world forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. Nature.org.
Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, introduces the revolutionary philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of God the Creator, teaching common principles and moralities that most religions share. Universal learning is based around the universal laws and universal energy. It is divided into three main topics: who you are, why you are here, and how to achieve success and fulfillment in your lifetime. Your Never-Ending Life explores subjects such as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. The book is written in an easy-to-read and broad-minded fashion. For more information, visit www.universallearningseries.com.
Talk with an extra dimension. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We are here with Stephen McKay, who is, yes, interviewing me.
How's this feel? A little different?
It is very odd to sit here. We were talking at commercial break, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, this just seems very weird for me not to be doing anything, and somebody else is doing it, so it's kind of strange.
All those hours of prep you don't have to do, because you just come in and sit down.
And talk, and have somebody ask me the questions. And I do know, speaking of questions, is that you have a ton more that you need to ask me, so we're just going to get right at it.
Cool, cool. How did the psychic ability affect being a mother? Because here you're growing the kids. Were you involved in doing readings at this point, or were you still? What level were you?
Let's define reading real quickly. Reading is something that when somebody sits down in front of you and asks a question, then you answer it on a psychic level. I was doing readings from the time I can remember. I mean, they weren't readings as somebody calling me and saying, hey, can I get a reading, and setting up an appointment. It was like people would ask me questions, and the answers would be there, and I would freak people out. I really did, because I didn't know. See, I didn't articulate the word psychic. I had never heard it before. It's very hard to understand what you are if you don't have, you know, any kind of a knowledge base and vocabulary base to understand what you are, who you are, and define that.
You were still living in Michigan.
I was still living in on the farm.
I'm not criticizing Michigan, but during that time period, it probably wasn't all that open-minded.
There was nothing open-minded about it at all. My parents were very strict. They came from very strict households. They came from very old school learnings and teachings, and that's what they taught in our particular household as well. My grandparents, one set of grandparents was from Germany, the other set was from the Deep South, and then my mom and dad got married, so I had all this Northern German and Southern influences.
Oh my God!
Yeah. It was kind of interesting. So anyway, getting to the question though. I was always doing readings for people, even though that's not what I called them or that's what it was. and how it affected me as a mother is I was always able to tell my children were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And, you know, they would go, how did you know that? How did you know that? And so I used to laugh at them and say, I have eyes in the back of my head. Because, again, I still didn't articulate that, you know, that I seen it or I heard it, even though they weren't in the room with me or what have you.
Right.
So, yeah.
Now, we're still kind of in your mid-20s at this point. Did you have any more, getting back to the UFO, did you have any more UFO encounters? And you also wanted to talk a little bit about some encounters with angels.
Oh, the angel thing. Yeah, let's talk. I'll answer the first question, the UFOs. You know, the ones that I had after that were more of a visionary type exploration, what some people would call dream time, but I just considered another alternative reality. But yes, there was the constant communication with those that would be called extraterrestrial. Now,
I'd like to spend a whole show on that. You need to come to my show,
okay,
and get into that, because that is just extremely fascinating, the whole UFO.
It is, and I have stories. These are they're very bizarre. You know, they very are very bizarre. And now, getting into the angels, when I was in my young 20s, I had been married, had two children, and divorced by the time I was 22, and I was feeling some real heavy burdens in my life. I was going through that time in my life where I was trying to discover who I was, trying to figure out who I was, where I came from, what I really wanted in my life. And I was feeling very overwhelmed by life in and of itself. I was very depressed. And I remember going in and taking, I got very tired. So I went in, and my children were taking a nap. So I decided I was going to go into bed and take a nap. And I was very depressed. I don't even know how else to explain it. My heart was very heavy, and I just felt like I was carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I was feeling like that. It's not part of this show. So as I'm laying there, it's in the middle of the afternoon, and all I remember is this light started filling the room. Now, the room is already light, but the room is filling with this golden light, and as it's filling, it's actually coming over me. It's like it's washing over me. It goes to my head, and it gets to the top of my head, and, you know, it's filling the whole room, and then it recedes back, and as it recedes back, then it coalesces, and there is an angel in her wings, and this is a female, and her wings are spread, and she's in this golden light, and there was some oranges and some purples in there, but most of it was gold. And as she put her wings down, the light went away with her, and it literally slid out the window. And the next thing that I noticed, that I became consciously aware of, was that I no longer felt burdened or sad. I was absolutely, I mean, it still moves me to tears, because it was
came in and took stuff away.
It just took my burdens away. Yeah, I was blown away. That was my first huge encounter with that kind of miracle. It was from the angels. And, you know, the spirit entities that I've always seen around me have not been angelic in the same sense. They are spirit entities. So they're different than the angels. I mean, all of them that come forward are very different. Dozens upon dozens upon dozens I've communicated with through the years. And some of them stayed with me since I can remember. The angels seem to come to me particularly when there seems to be something of sadness or burden in my life. And they seem to come and assist me in those times. So, but that was a miracle. That was a true miracle.
It's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Now, with that, we talked a little bit about your day of awakening. Is that what you would consider the day of awakening, or was it a little later in your life?
That was the first moment. That was the actual first moment of understanding something greater than myself, that there was something more to this world than what I'd always been taught or been told about or whatever.
When you saw that, I mean, how did you define it? I mean, did you define it in the realm of the Southern Baptist writings?
Or no. No, it was an individual experience for me and me alone. And I defined it as a miracle, and that angel came because I needed the help. It had nothing to do with religion or anything else.
And so how did that affect you after, from then on? I mean, did you feel the relief of burden?
I did, and a clearer mind, and I was able at that point then to start looking at my life logically, in the sense that I was able to put some things into perspective and learn that there was more beyond me, more than just religion, but more beyond me. And so that began, that really started the whole process of really learning more about life in and of itself.
Is that when you began your journey into, like, Reiki?
No, that didn't happen until later. The next experience I had with angels was when I had a near-death experience, truly.
What age were you then?
I was in my late 20s.
Late 20s, okay.
And I had actually been in the hospital for 10 days, and they didn't know if I was going to make it or not. And I remember waking up at one point, and there was the angels standing at the foot of my bed, and there was three of them. And the voices that I heard at that point, they were soft, and they were musical. Hmm. And it's very interesting, and they were all in white, and they said, "You will be just fine, and your children are just fine." And I remember going back to sleep, and I slept for three more days before I woke up.
Wow.
So, interesting. So now I didn't get into the Reiki until I actually moved from the country. I moved from Michigan. And I moved
to civilization.
I moved to the middle of the country. I moved to Kansas City area. And I'd had a car accident. And it was enough to where it really racked me up pretty bad. And I had met a lady there that said, I can help make you feel better without doctors and drugs and all that stuff. And I said, oh, I'm interested. So therein began the process of the Reiki, with learning how that worked. And once I experienced it, I went on and became a Reiki master. And then I went on and became a Reiki master in five other healing techniques. It was very complementary to the psychic abilities I had, because I was able to see what people needed to be helped with. So it was kind of interesting.
Now, did you begin really forming your work as a psychic at that point? As childhood, throughout childhood, in your 20s, you talked about, I understood I had some ability. I didn't know it was psychic. At this point, were you aware that it's actually defined as psychic ability?
No, I actually learned that before then, so I'll tell you when my true awakening was.
Okay.
Well, the true awakening was with the angel, but the awakening was at one point in my life after my third child was born. I was going through a bad time with my second husband, and I was feeling like there was something not in my life. Something was missing. And so I was having this very monumental crisis, with spiritual crisis within myself. And the crisis was, is I felt like I needed to go to church, or I needed something to belong to, I needed something to believe in. So, it was one of those rare moments in life when I was all by myself and none of my children were in the house. I don't know where they were all at, but I was by myself. And so as I'm walking around, and I'm going, I stood in the middle of my house and I said, okay, I have been doing things my way and it's just not working. So I'm ready to listen. That's what I said out loud. I said, I'm ready to listen. I'm looking up, and I said, give me something to believe in. And I must have said that a couple times, and I'm walking around, not really expecting a response, you see. I'm just talking at this point to myself. I'm talking out loud.
Right.
Then this huge, booming voice comes in that says to me, why must it have a name? Well, it startled me. Not enough to shut my mouth, though, mind you. And I was like, well, I need something to believe in. Why must it have a name?
Absolutely.
And this, absolutely. So back and forth, we went like four or five times. And finally, the light bulbs went on. Click, 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 click. And I went, oh, okay, I get it. I get it. I do. I get it. I get it. I get it. The booming voice went away. I never heard from again. And to this day, my belief is it was the God creator. That was my personal path. I made my personal connection to God, the Creator.
Cool.
At that moment, that's when everything opened. And the flood, when I say everything opened, the floodgates opened, everything opened. People started coming. Yes,
you're diving for all the information you get.
No, it was coming to me. It was just like it just. It was just amazing. I mean, just amazing. People were coming out of the woodworks and learning this and doing this and doing that and learning about this, learning all the things I'd never known anything about.
That strange fate thing again. Yeah. You know, like that.
Yes.
The woman you said when you were being baptized here.
Yes.
They're coming at the right moment.
Divine intervention. Everybody's path is their own, and so is their timing. So that's when I actually discovered that my abilities were what some people call intuitive, empathic, psychic. I'm a medium. I'm a clairvoyant. I do psychometry. I'm a visionary. I have spirit guide communication, which I since learned to teach other people how to do that. I've taught people how to meditate.
Can you teach anybody? Some
people take longer than others, but yes, if you have a willing heart and a mind, that's all it takes, and keep your mind open. It's all it takes, honestly. It's the willingness.
Right.
But yes, you can. Right, absolutely.
Let's move on. You're in your 40s now. Have we skipped anything? I don't think we've skipped anything.
I don't think so.
You were doing that growing period, you know, getting all this people coming to you through your 40s. Now in your 40s... What's going on there? I mean, how are you growing? What's the status?
The 40s was more of like playing catch up to everything I had done in my 30s. You got to remember, I made the discovery of all those words I couldn't articulate. I became certified as a psychic. I had my own television show and co-hosted another. I developed classes. I've written books.
Progressed teaching it.
Right. I just like blew my doors open, and for like 10, 12 years, that's all I did was learn, and then continue to do the research, and then I turned the research into classes to teach others what I myself had to learn on my own.
And doing your own radio show, too.
And then, of course, the last 4 years, my own show, radio show, absolutely. You bet. That's been fun. I've been blessed. I truly have been blessed.
It's awesome.
It is. It is. Oh, my goodness, we're out of time. Okay, you guys, don't go away. We'll be right back with more Journeys with Rebecca and Stephen McKay.
There's still time to take advantage of a private reading with Rebecca Jernigan with the July special. If you schedule your reading in the month of July, you will get your reading at half price. It's only good for July, so hurry and call now to set your appointment with Master Clairvoyant Rebecca Jernigan. Limited number of time slots are available, so call 888-958-2768. That's 888-958-2768. Call now. Where will your life's journey take you?
Fate magazine is dedicated to the scientific method, to calm analysis of the known and the unknown. It is a magazine for the logical man, the religious man, for the doubtful man, for the observing man, and above all, for the man who wants to know the answers to those greatest of all questions. Why was I born? Where am I going? Who and what am I? You might call Fate a cosmic reporter. Log on to www.fatemag.com.
I know how important a dad can be. That's why my wife and I take our daughters on tour with us. Tuck them in at night, tell them stories, and sing them songs. My name's Tim McGraw, and I want to say, it doesn't take a superstar, but it takes a man to be a dad.
I don't know why they say grown men don't cry.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Call 1-800-790-DADS for free helpful information.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca, and we are here today with Stephen McKay, who is interviewing me. For a change. How
interesting. A little bit different. A little bit fun for you, huh?
Well, it's different.
Maybe not fun.
I'm still waiting for those questions.
Yeah, we're going to get to the really fun stuff here in a moment. More controversial stuff.
But okay.
I want to finish up on, you know, your journey.
Okay.
What's going on now? We got all the way through.
Oh, wow. There's actually a lot going on right now. Because of the radio and stuff, obviously I've been interviewing a lot of people, and that's just been going really, really well. But I also have another thing that I've been offering people just due to the nature of the abilities, and it's called intuitive diagnostics. And I've had great, great successes, as well as, I should say, the clients that I've worked with have had great, great successes. What that is I work with businesses, whether they be small, medium, large corporations, individual CEOs, what have you, where I can go in and actually diagnose issues and problems within the personnel, within the hierarchy, maybe with the arrangements of the actual working environment amongst people, and if people are actually in the right positions. It's actually been a hugely phenomenal success for those that I've worked with in the past. So,
You've helped me a lot and
yes.
Helped a number of businesses that I know of. And obviously it's very private and, you know,
yes.
confidential in nature. But
right.
It's an awesome thing. I mean, why it hasn't been done before, I don't know. Because with your abilities, it's just, you know, to help them in their business, it's just... cool thing.
It is, and it really is. I have to, in this way, I have to toot my own horn, because what it does is allow people that are getting ready to maybe make some changes or business decisions within their organization to maybe get an inside track as to if this is really going to benefit and who it's going to benefit. And so it's a very valuable tool that they can utilize by just giving me a call, and I can set up a time, and, you know, for those who are not obviously in the Kansas City area, you know, arrangements can be made, and rates are based on size of the corporate. Yes,
mm-hmm. Travel around the country at times.
I do.
And are involved in different things all around the country, so it's just not here locally.
Right, right, exactly.
Seems like every time I call you, you're off in California or Indianapolis or New Orleans or someplace like that.
There you go.
Always got work going on. Something shaking.
Something shaking and moving, you bet.
You ready to get into some more interesting
whether
questions?
I'm ready or not, let's hear them.
Well, let's start out kind of calm.
All
and
right.
Let's just take a few moments and imagine that you have an opportunity to go back in a few years and talk to this 14-year-old girl who happens to be yourself. And you get to give her a little bit of advice. What would you say to her? You're going back to talk to yourself at 14.
Trust in yourself, believe in yourself, and have fun. Seriously. It's about believing in the self. It's about not questioning the self. And at 14, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Would you say that your childhood was fun?
No. Mean,
did you have...
No, not a question there. Not at all. There might have been moments of fun, but it was not fun overall, no. It was a pretty ugly childhood, actually.
That's sad.
No. We all have a walk to do now.
Yeah.
And that was my walk, and I walked it.
I'm sure it was learning.
It was a challenge, and when I look back on it, I'm telling you I wouldn't have changed a thing, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Okay, we're going to play a game that we play on my show, which is a word association.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a word, and you have to say the first word that pops in your mind. You got to answer it really quick.
Okay, but the point is there a psychological profile done after this?
Yeah. We have a whole staff of psychologists analyzing this.
By the way,
you and I get into reverse speech. And
yes.
I enjoy the heck out of it.
It's fabulous, isn't it?
We got to talk about that sometime.
Okay.
Anyway, getting back to this. So
okay, word association.
Word association.
Here we
answer
go.
It really quickly,
okay.
And then we'll talk about your answer. So.
Okay.
But you can't go, I don't know. You got to be quick.
Okay? I'll try.
Your first word is time travel.
Astral travel.
Astral travel. Okay. What do you mean by that?
I heard travel, and then I was like, astral travel. I'm in the travel frames.
It kind of makes me interesting because
psychological anything.
No, normally you think of time travel, you get inside a machine like Doctor Who. And
okay,
you travel through time.
All right, astral, how about the time space continuum? How's that for an answer?
Well, I mean,
yeah, is that better? Does that fit better?
I think what it means is I'm a psychologist, so I'll answer the question. That astral travel is what you do, part of what you do in your psychic ability.
And I believe time travel as well.
Cool.
That's why
you believe
in travel is travel. See, that's what I was. That's
okay.
So. Cool. Psychologically, I fit no profile.
Okay, the next word, crop circles.
Extraterrestrial. I mean, I seen the little beings. I didn't know what to call them, so it took me a second to think about it. Extraterrestrial.
That's fascinating. Let's try another one here. You got to answer quickly. Antichrist.
Not true. Untrue.
I don't know if I'll get into this. I'll go ahead and get into this.
Be careful.
Okay, we won't get into it. I'll wait for my show.
Thank you.
And I'll get into it. Okay, next word. Rainforest.
Depleted.
Sad situation.
Yes.
Why is that happening?
Greed, money.
Money. Oil companies.
Yes. Oh, well. Control.
Next word. Poltergeist.
Spirit.
Bad spirit?
Not necessarily. Mischievous. Loki spirit, if you will.
Have you ever run across any spirits that you've either communicated with or seen that have just been like a comedian? Just funniness.
Yes.
You know, I'm just a happy-go-lucky, I'm just going to screw with you, you know, or I'm having fun with you, or do practical jokes on you.
Yes. That's what I call the Loki spirit.
The Loki spirit. Yeah. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Do you like going to haunted houses?
I love them.
I mean,
no, I love it.
That you feel that are haunted and go in just
yes.
in the middle of the night. And,
well, I don't know if in the middle of the night, but I mean, I like going to them.
But you can see them anytime, I guess.
Yes, you can. It doesn't have to be dark time.
Yeah.
They're there. They are there all the time.
For us unskilled people, I guess we got to walk around and listen for sounds. Okay, the next word, the grays.
Well, it was interesting because then I associated that with another one called Pleiadians.
Hmm.
They're not the same, but they are extraterrestrial.
Hmm. What about, maybe I did this one. Acupuncture. Did I do that one?
No.
Acupuncture.
Alternative healing.
I am a big proponent of alternative healing, and the primary problem with it is pharmaceutical companies and a lot of large HMOs can't make money off of it, and it's.
I'm right there with you. It's. I believe that there's a place in the world for all of it. I truly do. For modern day medicine as well as alternative healing, because each body is going to respond to healing in a different way, in a different time, and in a different frame. So I think it all works and can work in conjunction with each other. Really, I do.
Cool. Let's get. I got a couple more real quick.
Okay.
I know we're running close on time.
We are.
This has been a joy, by the way.
Thank you. It's been fun for me.
It's different, right? Okay, a couple more words. One is Mother Nature.
Earth.
Let's try organized religion.
That's my answer.
How about hate?
Sad. Fear.
Love.
Joy.
And the last word, companionship.
Sweet.
It's been a joy to be with you tonight.
It's been a joy having you here.
This afternoon, I should say.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been really fun. We'll have to get together, though, and do the UFO thing, and we'll have to have some conversations about that. And Stephen McKay, thank you so much. Make sure everyone turns into KC Online Radio. This has been a joy. Rebecca out.
Journeys is always looking for informed, entertaining, and passionate guests. Email your guest suggestion to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
I'd like to thank my guests tonight for sharing their wonderful information and knowledge with us. And a special thanks goes out to you, the listeners. Now, you know, the guests I have on air are given the opportunity to share their viewpoints or ideas. Now, you and I have the opportunity of choice in regards to those ideas or viewpoints. Be sure to check in next week for more enlightening educational talk and discoveries. This is Rebecca of Journeys with Rebecca. Until we meet again, where will your life's journey take you? Many blessings and good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.